In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The best thing about my neighborhood is the trees. Towering old growth oaks and elms and pines which reach 100 feet into the air or more. One of my great joys is to just wander through our streets, walking among giants, looking up at their massive branches reaching towards heaven and feeling pulled up there myself. However, some of the trees in my neighborhood had the temerity to have grown up in a place where 75 years ago someone decided a road should go, and soon after a road decided the power lines should go. So now, in addition to these magnificent trees, we have telephone poles and power lines which crisscross the neighborhood, bringing us our modern ways of life. But large trees with large branches that reach to the heavens and power lines which float about 20 feet off the ground do not make good neighbors. And so the solution to keep these large limbs of these problematically placed trees from falling down onto those wires and interrupting our modern way of life has been to maim some of these magnificent species. They have chopped those trees in such a way that what has resulted are some of the most misshapen pieces of nature you have ever seen. Cedars and myrtles and magnolias looking like they've gotten the worst haircut imaginable. Half the tree growing tall and normal and the other half bent underneath the wires. Other specimens look like they've received some strange violent part. Branches splaying out in every direction with the lines running down the middle. Others appear as though some large monster has come and bitten out a whole chunk of their body. These trees have been wounded, warped, bent out of shape to make way for our modern way of life. Do you ever feel like that? Like life, this world is warping you, bending you out of shape. Not physically, though maybe, but in your soul. Like you aren't quite able to be who you want to be or think you should be. Like something or some things are pulling you down, contorting you into unnatural positions or cutting out a piece of your soul. Preventing you from growing straight and strong and reaching for the heavens. Maybe for you it's the stresses of your job that cause you to have to make compromises you don't want to make. Maybe it's mental and physical ailments as you get older that have you feeling less and less like yourself. Maybe you have your own private sins and temptations where your lesser angels contort you. Or maybe it's just the state of the world right now that is weighing you down. Or maybe it's the insatiable need for your time and attention and energy that modern life demands, leaving you exhausted. Do you ever feel like that? Weighed down, bent, out of shape, not you. I know I do. Well, God has anticipated this very thing happening to us and has provided us with a remedy. It's an ancient remedy known as Sabbath. According to our most sacred stories, Sabbath has been woven into the very fabric of creation commanded to us from the beginning, but its wisdom has been lost or ignored or overrun over the years, and very few people actually still observe it. Part of the problem is a slight misunderstanding of what Sabbath is and what it is for. It's not just making sure you have a day off every week. It's not just having one morning to sleep in and chill out. Sabbath is not just a time for rest. It is a time for restoration, which is different. For most of our days, we labor and are pulled out of shape by life, and the Sabbath is there for us to be straightened back out. I would offer that the work of the Sabbath is not actually to do no work, it's really to undo the work that 6 days of work or more have done to you. And that is why it is supposed to be a weekly remedy, a regular part of your rhythms. Sabbath is not vacation. It is not overworking all year long or letting life overwhelm you to the point where you feel like you're drowning and then taking a couple weeks off and expecting that to stand us back up straight, to bring us back to ourselves. No, by then we are too far gone for that to work. Sabbath is the regular rhythm of restoration that keeps us from getting bent too far out of shape by life. And the way that Sabbath does that work of restoration is by asking us to commit some of our most valuable resources, the very same things which the world is already constantly clamoring for, our time, our energy, our attention, to commit those things to God. Finding ways to place ourselves in his presence so that the Holy Spirit can go about its healing, restorative work in us. We have an object lesson in this very process in our gospel reading for today. We have a woman who, like those mighty trees in my neighborhood, is bent out of shape. She has been crippled for 18 years and she is unable to stand up straight. And right then and there, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, Jesus straightens her back out to the dismay of the synagogue authorities. But this, Jesus says, is what the Sabbath is for. To free us from those things which cripple us and keep us from standing up straight and strong. Sabbath is the time we intentionally set aside to encounter God so that we can have our lives and our souls restored. But how do I do it? I can hear you asking. How do I put myself into situations to encounter the Almighty so he can go ahead and work his chiropractic magic on my souls? Well, if we look to those who still keep the Sabbath as an inviolable part of their religious observation, there are three general practices that have emerged over the millennia as worthy ways to spend that time so that you can find yourself in the presence of God. And those are to spend time in worship and prayer, spend time with family and friends, and spend time out in nature. If we look, for example, at our Jewish friends who observe Shabbat, these practices will all be quite evident. As the sun sets on Friday evening, they gather over a meal with friends and family for a time of prayer and fellowship. Saturday morning is spent in synagogue, and then many have a practice of taking a long Shabbat afternoon walk outside. These are the three keystones of their Sabbath day observances. So I did not make these up, but I can certainly attest to their effectiveness. Almost always, when I am feeling bent out of shape by life, it is because I have been negligent in one or all of these areas. I've been in church, but haven't really been paying attention, and my prayer life has been overtaken by tasks and responsibilities during the week. Or I've been unable to spend quality time with the people who know and love me best. Or when I have been with them, I haven't been fully present. Or I have gone too long without steeping in the glories of the natural world, be that in a backyard garden, walking among the trees, or floating on the waves. All of these are tried and tested ways to restore the soul, because they are places that history and experience have shown us are where the Holy Spirit shines through most brightly. And it is through our encounter with that Spirit that healing and restoration can take place. And the best part of these Sabbath-keeping practices is that they are all readily accessible to us because they are built upon the understanding that God is readily accessible to us. We have simply just become distracted and distanced from Him. All then that is required is the offering of some time and attention and energy and effort, and we will find Him shining through all around us in worship with the people we love and out in the natural world, because the world is charged with the grandeur of God, as the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins famously wrote. But we have lost touch with it. Hopkins was writing back in the 19th century, but he could foresee what we now experience even more acutely, that the industrial age in which he lived was doing something to the souls of people. It was creating an idol of production and accomplishment where people spent less time in the presence of the holy. Time, attention, and energy were all they had to give too, and they were giving it all away as well, with nothing left over. And they were suffering for it. The world had become bent, his word. And he hoped to help straighten it out again through his verse by reminding people that even still, God's grandeur shined through for them to see. It's a really good poem. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh, morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings. I love this poem, but it pains me to think what Hopkins would say about how things have gone in the 150 years since he wrote it. I don't imagine he would be encouraged by our current age of isolation and distraction, of aggression and environmental exploitation. But while his metaphors might change, I think his message to us would remain the same. For no matter how much farther we have grown from nature, from one another, from God, the grandeur of God still charges through the world, there for us to encounter if we but commit to finding it. That dearest freshness deep down in things, which exists for our inspiration and our restoration. That hovering spirit still broods over us all, blinding us with its bright wings. And this is the remedy which will save us from living bent lives, never growing to our full potential. For even those trees which we have done our best to cripple, nevertheless reach toward the light. Amen.